Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
Now, God is a gentleman. But if you don't have peace, that's evidently what's happened to these people. Remember in chapter 58, verse 2, they're going to church and they're fasting and they're on the treadmill of righteousness. But I don't have any peace. The end of verse 3. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. It's business first. Indeed, you fast and you strive and, say that last word with me, what? Debate. What does that mean? I'm arguing and contentious. Is that the heart of the Lord? No. I want my way. I'm pursuing my agenda. God says that's the wrong way to fast. And to strike with the fist of wickedness. I'm fasting. Don't get near me. I have a sugar thing, and I may whack you in the nose. Verse 4, indeed you fast and strife and debate and strike with the fists of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Remember, prayer isn't sitting on the heavenly Santa's lap and asking. Now, for sure, God says, by all means, give him your heart. And there are things that we need to ask him for. But remember, how much does God know? God knows what we need, but sometimes he says for us, indeed, by all means, make your supplications known to me. But what always goes in front of supplication or my grocery list? Thanksgiving. Prayer is not sitting on the heavenly Santa's knee. Prayer is signing up for duty. But when people don't do that, and they kind of make their own voice heard on high. Verse 5, is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? This is a rhetorical question here. What's the inferred answer? No, I don't listen to that self-centered perspective. But now, lift up your voice like a trumpet, Isaiah. No matter what you see coming forth on your TV, and the right is this and the right is that, what are we supposed to do? Here's what we're supposed to do, Harvest. Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. And often I think of, if I'm fasting on behalf of somebody else, will it be supernaturally powerful enough to knock a few padlocks off of some closed hearts and minds? Absolutely. But you know who else's wickedness is going to get loosed? Mine. I don't think I have wickedness. Yeah. Fast and then see. To loose the bonds of wickedness, even my own. To undo the heavy burdens. Loved one, do you have some heavy burdens? Pick out an afternoon or perhaps a morning or whenever it works in your schedule and literally plan. Maybe it's one meal to get started. Maybe it's a couple meals. Some of you may feel the leading of the Lord for a whole day, depending on what your hypoglycemia allows you to accomplish. But the point of it is, when have we ever really said to the flesh, no? And when I am fasting and my tummy's all rumble, 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 oh, and I got Oreo cookies in the cabinet. And your flesh is all do 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 do. Or is that just me? I swear some of the items in my pantry have a voice of their own. When I tell my flesh no, and when those grumblings happen, that's the time to say, God, I'm here listening for you. I'm willfully turning down the volume of the flesh in order to turn up the volume of the Spirit. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. To undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break how many yokes, you guys? A son or a daughter in addiction. Maybe several trips to the rehabs of various kind. And the enemy is in your ear. They're never going to change. Maybe grab a hold of Isaiah 58 and literally read this aloud as you have skipped one meal, perhaps two, perhaps more. Now when your flesh is saying, feed me. And you say, Lord, your word says, to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke, telling you something is happening in the Spirit. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? This is not theoretical. Seriously, if you had 10 bucks you spend at Wendy's, whatever it might be, maybe that's the time you roll up to one of the people that say, we'll work for food. I don't know, perhaps that may be how the Lord will do it for you, and give that $10 to them. Or get your burger, but instead of you eating it, then give it to one of those. Or maybe it's that $10, $12, $20, whatever it might be that day for that food, and maybe it's calling up the food bank here in Northern Nevada. Maybe it's signing up to give so much a month to one of the other World Vision or any kind of food pantry. That's what this is saying. Give away your flesh's hungry voice. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? A little bit of wisdom there. I don't know that you want to necessarily have one of those folks hop in your car and you take them home and feed them, although that might be, but especially our single sisters, yeah, don't do that. But are we just plain hospitable? Is our home my house? Or is it his house? When you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh, meaning your relatives. How many of you got some relatives? Verse 8. Then you've been giving away yourself. You've raised your life like a trumpet. Though people around are going crazy and are burdened and are oppressed, not me, because I'm fasting for the Lord. I'm tuning down the volume of the flesh and turning up the volume of the Spirit, my Holy Spirit antenna fully extended. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you 7. Number 1, then your light will break forth like the morning. Number 1, when we fast, when we don't get overwhelmed by the fear and the verbiage and the rhetoric of a bunch of people who have no peace, I will have a brand new morning, a new day, a new perspective. Number 1, a new day, a new perspective. And your healing shall spring forth speedily. Are you talking physical healing? Could be. How about emotional health as well? That's for sure. And how about instead of plugging your eyes and ears into the resources and fears of CNN and what have you, how's about maybe we turn those off for a while? Maybe God having us fast cable television and talk radio. And instead, we call upon him. Maybe there's healing coming forth, physical and even emotional. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord. You know what that is. That's the word kabod. That's the cloud. That's the Shekinah. It means weight and substance. You won't be floating down the river, so to speak, of trivial talking and bantering about on surface issues. How about know more about him? Then the glory of God shall be your rear guard, if you will. He's got your back. That's number three, the glory, the substance of the Lord. And here's another thing I might add. You will sense His answering your prayers. Let's keep cruising. Verse 9. And then you shall call. And the Lord will what, everybody? And the Lord will what?
Answer.
One more time. And the Lord will?
Answer.
Oh, that's what we need, America. And that's what we need, Harvest. Substantive answers to the people who are pulling their hair out. What are we going to do? Don't worry. Isaiah 57, 58. It's happened before. Verse 9, one more time. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry and He will say, here I am. Number 4, continual guidance. Number 1, a new day, a new perspective. It's not going to freak you out. Number 2, physical and emotional healing, health and balance. Number 3, glory, which is to say substance. And number 4 here, continual guidance versus confusion and fear. And if you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, I don't have Facebook, but a time or two I'll peer over Nicole's shoulder, who we have a Harvest Facebook account. Man, some of the stuff I have seen Christians saying, oh my, it ought not to be, amen? Let's review. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you don't sense that about to come through your keyboard fingers, then in Jesus' name, take your hands off the keyboard and go seek the heart of the Lord. Amen, you guys? If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul, which is to say your mind and emotions, if you extend your soul to the hungry, in other words, you're going to be thinking about people who have it a whole lot worse than you. When we are consumed with all the fearful things coming over the television, turn that off and don't preoccupy your brain with me, 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 but Him, 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 and then be available for the Lord to use you for ministry. I'm guaranteeing you, you pull the covers up to your chin on that day and it'll be praise Your name, praise Your name, praise Your holy name. Verse 10, one more time. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, your light shall dawn in the darkness. No more confusion, no more fear, and your darkness shall be as noonday. What do we do? What do we do? The light of God comes on. Oh, I see. Verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul. What is soul? Your mind and your emotions. And satisfy your soul when there is a drought. And can I hazard an observation, Harvest family? As we look at the current situation in America, there is a tremendous drought of contentment. But when we are mindful of Him and denying the self, that won't happen. And satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden. Mark in your margin, what do well-watered garden plants produce? I've said it before. We have an apple tree, two apple trees in our backyard, and a peach tree in our backyard. And never once on a sunny day after the lawn has been watered, never once have I ever heard this coming from my trees. What's the matter, Mr. Tree? Don't bother me. I'm trying to make some fruit. Pew! and he blows an apoplexy right out of his cambium. All they do is reach up to the sun. All they do is settle their roots deep in the water. And then they just, apple tree. And the fruit what? Don't have to work for it. And strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. That's number 6, restoration. I mentioned it earlier this morning before we got started in our worship time. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, let me read it to you. Stand in the old ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and then you will find rest for your souls. How many of you love some of the old stuff we dug out today when we sang that stuff? You should have heard you guys sing it. One of the cool things we have up here is you all are facing this way, so we often get a chance to hear you. Some of you guys were, you were singing away. Whew. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side, which I even heard a little of this. Some of you are squishy and you know what I'm talking about. Build, verse 11, shall build the old waste places. The devil works hard to blow up your life, and I'll bet there's a lot of untended, unhealed ends in some of your life. When you are full of God's Spirit, after denying the flesh, suddenly your heart is filled. And then you think of that relative, or you think of that situation, or that old boss, and the sting of what he did or what she said, suddenly gone. And you're inclined, what was I mad about in the first place? And then I'm the one who picks up the phone. Those from among you shall build the old waste places and shall rise up the foundations of many generations. That's number 7. That's reconciliation. Whole lot of broken families in here, Harvest. It is never too late. It is never too late to pick up the phone and fix. Well, they've passed on. Okay. You can still be here, maybe on a Monday through a Thursday when the building is open. You're more than welcome to come into this place and just fall apart a little bit at the altar. There's nothing powerful about this geography of the room. But sometimes the geography of your heart, I'm standing, I'm kneeling in the presence at the foot of the cross. You can release and forgive there. Amen? Reconciliation, me, family, and prayerfully this nation. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach. If we're in our own stuff most of the time, that will not be my name tag. I'm not the repairer of the breach. I'm the one who did the breach. I'm the one who said never. I'm the one who said no. I'm the one who said get out of my life. And God may be saying, what about a new name badge? Because of all that he has done for me to repair the breach of my sin. And I can't be that for somebody else. The restorer of the streets to dwell in. Verse 13, and we're almost done. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing what you like to do. Now, remember, the Jews had to observe the Sabbath once a week. What was that supposed to be about? About a time of denial? That's what the religious people turned it into. But what it really was a time to rest. A time to not answer the pager. I said pager. Did I just date myself? But not answer the phone, and basically you and your family in the Lord Jesus Christ. a time of delighting yourself in the Lord. And I like what John Corson says. He says, the Jews were required to keep a Sabbath day. In the New Testament, we live a Sabbath life every day in the freedom of the Lord. Now, if you get to church not from all the previous weirdnesses, if you turn away your foot from religion, Sabbath, if you will, in quotations, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and instead of religion and burdens and hoops, call it the Sabbath a delight. A holy day of the Lord has defected from you whole scale. People talking about the urban people and then the rural people and then the educated people and the uneducated white whatever. It doesn't matter. If our agenda is not your word, then I will not have peace. And for those whose candidate was not elected, I want to say to you, peace, peace, peace in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for those of you whose candidates were elected, please don't get proud of yourself, because it's never a man that brings righteousness to a nation. It's God. And now more than ever, you better be praying for your candidate. If they won, you'd better be praying for that candidate every day. And Lord Jesus, I do want to pray for all the candidates that won. And I want to pray for all the candidates who didn't. For those who didn't, Lord, I pray that the stunning defeat of some, the stinging, perhaps feeling of rejection would soon pass, and that all of those would realize you are their hope and stay. And for those who have won, Lord, who anxiously look forward to anticipation of their first days in office, oh, I pray, Lord, that they don't believe that it was their smarts or resume that got them there. It was your will. And Lord, may all of those candidates in Jesus' name have a stark realization of that truth, that they serve you. And we pray, Lord, that all around the winning candidates would be people, men and women of God and of the book, of the Bible, who will have say and influence to those whose name is on the door. And now, Lord, for America. Oh, how we love this beautiful nation indeed. But I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, may we never have America as an idol, preferring its interests versus obeying the living God. Lord, we pray that whatever is going to happen in the next couple weeks, next couple months and years, I pray that God's people, Lord, are a shining example of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And that all of us are able to say to anyone wringing their hands, you don't have to be shook up. If you put your heart in His hands and give your life to Him, He has a plan and a purpose for you and America. And everybody who believed that that's what they desired, in Jesus' name, said, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form, or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.